This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, welcome back into The Hull Show, powered by Chevron. Big day here for Colorado State as Jim Mora will be officially announced as the next head coach for the football program at 3 o'clock today. So certainly feels historic. It really does. It's an exciting time here in the northern Colorado area, no question about it. How are UConn people feeling today? Joining me now, I am really excited about this next guest, Bobby Wilson. He's the host of the TNT College Football Podcast, and you got to check him out. They're talking college football and the national scene, but certainly getting into all things UConn as well. Bobby, my friend, thanks for being on with us, man. I really appreciate the time.
Absolutely, Brady. Thank you for having me.
Hey, man. I want to talk at the end of this show. I want to make sure we give our listeners opportunities to find your podcast and everything. But what was your initial reaction? What was like the fans' initial reaction when they find out Jim Mora is going to Colorado State?
Well, I'll speak for myself first. I'll say I was shocked, honestly. Well, initially, I was. Then when I got to think about it a little bit, I mean, I know that Coach Mora is from that part of the country, and I don't think that anybody, if they were presented with an opportunity to go back closer to home, doing something that you love to do, I can't fault a man for wanting to do that. I know I'm a former head college basketball coach, and I know if I was presented with an opportunity to go back home where I'm from in Michigan, it would be an exciting thing. So I can't fault him at all for that. Speaking for the fan base, I'll say, I mean, I know that there was definitely some shock for sure. Depending on who you ask, there's some betrayal. I think the fans are more so appreciative of what Coach Mora did during his time at UConn, because let's be honest, from a national perspective, especially if you talk about UConn prior to Coach Mora, especially that time, that stretch from the mid 2010s into the early 2020s, UConn was one of the laughing stocks of college football. And Coach Mora obviously brought us out of that 3 out of 4 years, making it to a bowl game, back-to-back 9-win seasons. So for me personally, I know I'm very, very thankful for what he did, helping put UConn football back on the map.
We're talking to Bobby Wilson, host of the TNT Football Podcast. And, of course, he spends time covering UConn. And I'm sure that this has been maybe the topic for a while. You got a pretty good basketball team, too. I don't know. You know, there's a lot to talk about there. But on the football side, I know this has probably been a pretty significant topic. I mean, we see this. We got the Lane Kiffin stuff going on. And, hey, at least it's not going down quite like that for Jim Mora. But this is the tough part of the business, where you get a coach, no matter the age, whatever, they turn a program around, and if they see an opportunity, more money, more whatever, different conference, going to the Pac-12 seems maybe like it might be a step up, but we don't know that yet. We'll see what happens with the Pac-12. But it does leave a lot of fans, players, families in the wake, and we see it nationally, and it sucks on the other end.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a business at the end of the day. I mean, it really, really is. It's like I said, I was a part of it. I was a JUCO and D3 head coach, so I can speak to it a little bit. Now, obviously not on the level that UConn or Colorado State are at, but when you're making those decisions on what to do, you're affecting your family, but you're also affecting a lot of other families and young men and women as well when you make that decision. So, I mean, it's not something you can take lightly for sure. And I know I just from some of the things that I've heard, read, people I've talked to, I know that the opportunity to be closer to home obviously is big for Coach Mora, but I've also heard it from people I've talked to that being a part of the Pac-12 conference and having that affiliation is a big deal. And I know UConn being an independent, it's obviously tougher from that standpoint. So I think that certainly played a role into things as well.
Yeah, we actually caught up with a friend of his, a former teammate, roommate, Hugh Millen, last week. And, you know, he even mentioned that, like, in a text thread. They were going back and forth, and Jim looked at this and said, man, if we can win the Pac-12, then there's that path to get into the college mm-hmm. football playoffs, which does seem realistic. I know this year it was a really strange year in the Mountain West Conference, but last year, obviously, Boise State, we know what they did. So basically, we're taking the better version of, to some, of the Mountain West going to the Pac-12. It would seem that, hey, if you can find a way to win that conference, you're going to have a realistic shot, assuming the rules stay the same, but you're going to have a realistic shot to get in.
Absolutely, and knowing Coach Moore and the way that he does things, I know he's going to be able to get that, get the CSU program rolling rather quickly. I mean, what he was able to do at UConn in that short time that he was there to get us up to where we're currently at right now, I firmly believe that he will do the same at CSU.
Talk to us about his coaching style, because I mean, you know, you follow him, you see his records. I mean, I remember watching him when he was the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. But I couldn't sit here and tell you, like, what is his philosophy? What's his strategy? Talk to us a little bit about that, you know, because right before this happened, I was tweeting out, I was like, man, I want to see a coach for CSU not necessarily be a play caller. Maybe a coach that's cool with the idea of a mobile quarterback, and we're gonna go find that guy. Does he check those boxes, in your opinion?
I absolutely think so. I think one of the big things that Coach Moore has been able to do, especially in the modern day football, is adapt very well. He still has those old school roots that he has, and he always will. He's always going to be that type of coach, but he's done a tremendous job adapting to the current way of college football, I'll say. He's found ways to implement different wrinkles into, I'll say, the UConn offense, in the defense in particular as well, with the different wrinkles that we had that have just really it's been entertaining for the fans, I'll say. And I think that CSU fans will love what he brings to the table, meshing that old school mentality with some of the newer tendencies of today's game.
Yeah, I'm excited. Well, and, you know, the other question, too, there's always names thrown out. And one of the questions we're asking now is, hey, what's that coach's philosophy on NIL? Like, are they those? We've had them around this area where we've had, you can just hear it in their voice. They don't like it. They're not in on it. And they're not going to be in on it. How does, like you said, he kind of has evolved like so many coaches have to. What is his view on the current landscape when it comes to NIL?
Well, I know initially at UConn we struggled in that mindset from the NIL and money perspective, and he was big on helping the program get more and get what we needed to have the team that we needed the past 2 years in particular. So I'm sure initially, like many coaches, he was like, this is just me speaking, but I'm sure initially he wasn't a fan of this, as most old school coaches probably mm-hmm. are. But at the same time, like, you understand the landscape of how things are working, and you have to adapt, because if you don't adapt, you're going to get left behind. And he's done a tremendous job with that. And he did a tremendous job at UConn when it comes to the Huskies in particular, raising the funds and NIL budget that they needed to succeed. And I'm sure he'll do that at CSU.
Yeah, that would be huge. I mean, with CSU hiring, you know, their current athletic director, John Weber, it's a business guy, you know, and we're seeing this across the country too. It's not so much guys that have gone up through the ranks to become a sports director being in that field. We're almost seeing a different turn where these are more business-minded people that really succeeded in the business side. And then they bring it over to the college landscape. So raising that money is huge, and that's on the priority list here for John Weber, for Colorado State. As far as players, and now we're seeing it like crazy, man. This always happens. It's happening to everybody, though. Guys tweeting it out that they're going to be entering the transfer portal, and now obviously our algorithms have changed, so we're seeing UConn players get into that, announcing that they will be entering. When is it? January 2nd. Are there some big names that you expect to potentially be a CSU Ram here in the near future?
I mean, I don't know any particular, I will say that, in inside on any of that type of information, but I will say, I mean, Coach Moore built great relationships with all of the players on that are part of the UConn football program. So it would not surprise me one bit if a handful of guys come along with him. The thing I will say is he did a great job building a brotherhood of for Husky football. So I know that a lot of those guys are committed to each other and have built a good brotherhood. And I know that's kind of a cliche thing in sports, but he did a great job with that. So it wouldn't surprise me if some of those guys came along. I know some of the bigger names that have entered from the UConn perspective, Cam Chadwick is a multi-year starter at a defensive back. Murawski, one of our stud offensive linemen, he's going to be a future pro. He just entered the portal. I have a feeling that he's going to get a big Power Four payday, in particular for him in particular, but you never know. But there's going to be other guys too that enter, and we'll just have to see how it goes. I know a lot of the high school recruits that we had committed have since decommitted, so I would expect those guys in particular to probably follow Coach Moore to CSU.
Yeah, it'll be another interesting part of this to watch kind of how that progresses. Again, you see it nationally. Last one for you on the Jim Mora side of things. I was seeing his name pop up. All, ESPN's talking about him halfway through the season. If this is a guy that should be on a lot of schools' radar, Power Four schools, Oklahoma State's name popped up, some of these other schools. And I guess we've already kind of answered that, but, he probably had those opportunities to go to one of those schools or at least interview and instead chose CSU. But from what you said at the beginning, it might be the idea that, hey, I'm 63, 64?
Mm-hmm.
I a realistic chance to go here and go to the playoffs and really kind of cement my legacy as opposed to going to a maybe middle to bottom of the road Power Four team and just kind of go back through that rinse, wash, repeat, where if you don't get this thing up and going in 3 years, you start all over.
I think that's the key right there. I think in the current state that he's in, I think he really wants to just go to a place where he can kind of win now, kind of build it rather quickly. I think at some of those Power Four programs that, like you mentioned, I mean, it's going to take a year or two or more to even build it up. And I think that just the opportunity that presents itself at CSU, the fact that he's from that neck of the woods as well, I think it just was an opportunity for him personally that he just couldn't pass up.
Bobby, appreciate this, man. It's been excellent. How can people find your podcast? And, I got about 30 seconds here just to kind of mention like what you're talking about on this, because I'm going to be checking this out. I've got it already bookmarked here and in my podcast download. So I'm really curious to learn more about your program.
Well, thank you. It's the TNT College Football Podcast. I named it after my kids. I have three T's.
Awesome.
And I talk nationally, college football, but I have a weekly show covering UConn football with a former UConn Husky football player, Pete Callen. Him and I, each and every week, we jump on and we talk UConn football. And then I'm being a former coach, I tend to focus more so on the coaching side of things and some other different things. And then some of my traveling that I do when it comes to college football as well.
Well, this won't be the last time we reach out, man. I would love to talk more college football with you down the road. And I'll be a listener of yours, my friend. And we'll look forward to catching up with you, sometime, hopefully very soon.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thank you.
All right. Bobby Wilson, host of the TNT College Football Podcast, 12:49 the time. Michael, we'll take a short break. We got to go here up against it. Great stuff, though, from Bobby. And no names right now, no big names that we can talk about, but I thought it was fascinating just kind of hearing more his reasoning behind going to CSU as opposed to like thinking about an Oklahoma State or something like that. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
We're gift wrapping the best sports broadcasts in the state. Hear Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, and high school sports on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.